Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
All right, we are in a series called Too Good to Be True, and I'm going to keep that up today. We've all heard the word gospel, but when the word was used in the early church, in the launch of the early church, it wasn't a normally used word. In fact, it was kind of a newly introduced word, and that Greek word that we get and take that and present and develop the word gospel from actually literally means this: nearly too good to be true. Nearly too good to be true. And so today we're going to talk to you about something that isn't just nearly too good to be true. It seems too good to be true, but it's true. And so we're going to look at that. We're going to look at Romans chapter 8 here in just a second. But before we do that, Easter is an incredible time for traditions. And my mama was big on traditions. She passed away in 2011. And if you have experienced the loss of a loved one, you know that every time a holiday or special moment rolls around, you kind of feel a twinge of that ache in your heart where that person kind of left a void. And so she was one to instill traditions in us. And I'm not really a traditional person, but I wanted to carry on some of the traditions and done my very best. One of the traditions that Mama passed on was all the time, but especially on holidays and especially at Easter, you're supposed to look nice. So I think I look all right today. Thank you for the encouragement today. But that was one, she came here from Italy, and so that's one thing we know how to do. We know how to dress. And the second thing is we know how to eat. And so she was always a big one to do meals and so on and so forth. And one of the traditions that she had was really two forms of food that were sweets. One was Gumas chocolates. If I stay there too long, I'll break out in tongues because Gumas chocolates gets me all fired up. So we have chocolate covered turtles and chocolate covered pretzels, and they're hidden in a safe place where nobody knows except for me until we go home. And then the last part of the kind of secret sauce on the sweets is, I couldn't hold it back from my family, is R&M cutout sugar iced cookies. Can I get somebody to testify in this house today? Come on. So it's full of tradition. And before I go any further, I just want to say, I don't really do this too much, but I want to brag on my family for just a second. They've been here from the beginning of the day, got here early. Alex got up early. The girls got up early. Alex drove here with me. We left around 6:40 or something, and he's been here doing things. My daughters have been here. My wife has been here. So would you just really indulge me for a minute and say thank you to them for doing all that. Thank you, guys. I love you. Thank you. Thank you. And so the tradition of Easter is one that's interesting. And for many of us, church is a tradition. And so you're here today, and it's just a part of what you do on Easter weekend. I get it. You do this so that grandma will feed you or mom will feed you. So you come here so you can stay in their good graces and so on and so forth. Or this is just part of the deal for you for Easter. And I want you to consider something as we look into God's word. I want to ask you to do me a favor. I want you to approach the next few minutes that we have together as not one of a position of tradition, but one that could possibly lead to transformation in your life in some shape, form, or fashion. Whether this is your first time in church in a really long time, or maybe your first time in church ever. To the person, you haven't missed an Easter service since you've been alive, I'm going to ask you to, in your mind, set aside the tradition that is Easter and invite God in to do something radically transformational in your life. That's what I'm going to ask of you. That's what I'm going to ask of you watching online. If you will be open to the proposition, to the idea that God could do something so big in you that not only would it change your future, but it maybe potentially could change the future for generation after generation after generation. And let's approach God that way for the next few minutes. What do you say? All right, why don't you bow your heads and close your eyes. We're going to pray and get into the Word. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to look into your Word. And as we do, we trust you to live big on the inside of each and every one of us. And I ask God for your Spirit to do the thing that only he can do in each and every one of our hearts and lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. If you agree with that, let me hear you shout amen. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Romans 8:31 says this: what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Here's what I love. The resurrection is the scandalous reminder that nothing has the power to separate you from the love of Christ Jesus. No wrong action, no wrong behavior, no mistake, no past failure, no shortcoming. There is nothing greater than the power of the grace of God that is available to anyone who will come and receive. This is the glory and the majesty and the amazingness of what we celebrate on the resurrection. He says this: if God was ever going to withhold something from you, it would have been his son. But he didn't withhold his son. So here's what he says: since he gave his only son and was unwilling to spare him, how will he also not give you freely all things? In other words, if he was going to withhold anything, it was his son. So his son being given to us is the display of love that says, I will never withhold any good thing from you, my kids. Even though you mess up, even though you're imperfect, my love for you will never waver. Isn't that amazing? Now interact with me for just a minute. How many of y'all have kids? All right. How many of you wish sometimes you didn't have kids? Somebody raised both hands. Kids are interesting creatures, aren't they? They can be charismatic and loving. Yeah, see what I mean? Right on cue, baby. Right on cue. They can be wonderful gifts and they can be challenging handfuls at the exact same time. They can be a wonderful display of graciousness and love. I remember our kids when they were little, they'd just come up to you. They'd come up to me and they'd snuggle up to you and they'd hug on you and they'd kiss on you and they were wonderful and it was amazing. And when they would do that, They didn't want anything in return. But then they became double digits in age. And then there's these times and you're like, very suspicious. What is it that they're doing here? And they mess up. They make mistakes. They do things that are odd. Yesterday's a good for instance. My youngest son, Alex. Why don't you come up here, Al? Come on, buddy. He looks good, right? Come on. So, I wanted him to get rid of the man bun. He wouldn't do it. He did a Twitter poll, and they said to leave it, didn't they? Oh, they said cut it. You didn't obey Twitter? Jesus doesn't have a chance then, does he? So Al is an amazing kid. I love him. Yesterday, I look out the window, and he's on the mower, and we just mowed. And he's going down the driveway. And he gets to the mailbox. And I'm like, where are he going with the mower? He took the mower to the mailbox to get the mail so he didn't have to walk. Pretty smart, don't you think? Grab a seat, buddy. And in that moment, I was torn between, do I get angry? Because he wasted the fuel. Or do I smile because he was a genius and did what I didn't know to do? Kids are crazy. They're amazing. And we are God's kids. Yes. And I had a conversation with someone not too long ago, and we were talking about how God gave his own son. My wife and I, we have two boys and two girls. And I think it would have been a completely different experience for humanity if God decided to give his daughter. I think it would have been awkward for humanity because fathers seem to be much more protective over their daughters than they are their sons. Here's the point. He loved him so much that the word says if he was ever going to withhold anything from us, it would have been his son. And he didn't withhold it. He didn't withhold him. He gave him to us as an extension of the grace of God. He died and was raised from the dead. And here's the thing about Jesus being raised from the dead that's incredible to me, is that it wasn't only the supernatural event of a dead corpse being resurrected. It wasn't just the phenomenon of someone who was dead and in the grave and raised from the dead. It wasn't that he was resurrected. It's who was resurrected. Because Jesus has a track record through the Gospels of hanging out with some suspect characters. Jesus has a track record of hanging out with some people that you and I, if we saw our friends hanging out with these types of people, we probably would have something to say about it. If not to them directly, then to our friends that we talk to our other friends about. You can acknowledge that you actually do that even though you're in church. We all do that. Come on. He hung out with some people that he wasn't supposed to hang out with. It's what got him killed. He was rejected. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. He was put on the outs. He was an outcast who had embraced the outcast. He was a reject who accepted the rejects in the world around him. He was punished both by political and religious establishments and required to pay our price for sin. Listen to the type of people he hung out with. He hung out with a woman who had an issue of blood, wasn't even supposed to be in public, a lawbreaker, a convict, a rebel. He came to the rescue of the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. He was seen on multiple occasions healing those with leprosy. an unclean person by Levitical standards. He was friends with at least one prostitute that we know of. He had Zacchaeus over for a meal, who was a chief tax collector and just a bad dude in the eyes of the religious leaders. He healed an individual on the Sabbath day, which in and of itself was against the code, was against the rules. He met with a Samaritan woman at a well. He met with a person who was a half-breed by the day's standard and was rejected by culture and society. Not only was she a half-breed, she was also a woman, which made it even worse for them in that day and in that time. That's how they viewed her. Not only this, but Jesus makes this in the Jewish culture mind, this despicable race of people, the Samaritans, makes a Samaritan a hero in one of the gospel narratives. And if that isn't enough, when he's breathing his last breath, he befriends the criminal hanging on the cross beside him. He's a lawbreaker in the eyes of the religious establishment. He's a rebel. He's a troublemaker. He's everything the establishment didn't want. And yet, he's the one that's buried and on the third day is raised up from the dead. Why? What's so scandalous about this? It's scandalous because God puts his hand on what everybody else wanted to take their hand off of. God raises up what the entire world had tried to suppress and keep down. God justifies what everyone on the planet had been condemning. He restores the broken. He changes lives. And in the glorious resurrection, it's a reminder of the grace of God that's extended to every human heart. No matter how far you've gone, no matter how much you've done, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you've done. I found this story that was just absolutely heartbreaking. And it's of a prostitute who's having a conversation with a preacher. Prostitute came to the preacher in dire straits, homeless, sick, strung out, addicted, unable to meet the basic needs for her and her two-year-old child, unable to find a way of escape. Through tears, she told the preacher that she had been renting out her daughter, 2 years old, to men, because she could make more by renting out her daughter in an hour than she could make in an entire night's worth of work. Let that sink in for a minute, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a made-up story. This is the world we live in. And while we are so secluded in our ivory towers of provision and blessedness, there are people who have real needs, who are really down. I mean, lower than you can imagine. I mean, they got problems. They got problems besides they ran out of soy when you wanted your double latte with soy instead of milk. Come on, somebody. I mean, they got issues that are deep and dark and difficult. The preacher went on to describe that she said she had to do this to support her own drug habit. And he asked her this question: have you ever thought of going to a church for help? He says, I'll never forget the look of pure, naive shock that crossed her face. Church? Why would I ever go there? I was already feeling terrible about myself. They just make me feel worse. This doesn't need to be an indictment against the church. I'm not against the church. I love church. But this is what strikes me, is that this woman look so similar to the people in the Gospels who would run to Jesus. Now, 2,000 years later, something has eroded to the point where the same people who used to run to Jesus now are running away from him. I wonder if it is, by some stretch of the imagination, that we as people have become too comfortable in our position, too haughty in our thinking, too high-minded in thinking that we can do it on our own, and there's no need for us to extend the grace and the love of Christ to others. What would happen if you and I, as the church, what would happen if you had a transformational experience today and the grace of God got into your heart and you began to extend this grace in a way like you never thought could happen before? What if you were actually able to identify with Paul when Paul said, I'm the least of all the apostles. I'm unworthy of any of these things, and I am what I am by the grace of God. What if we realized, what if we came to the point that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is what makes grace possible for us? What if we realized that we couldn't even find the front door in the morning without the grace of God? What would happen in our life if we understood that the only thing between them and the love of Christ is our gracious actions? What would happen if we actually rose up and became the people that Jesus envisioned? What if we actually took on the attributes and people who used to run from God now would run to God? What if we actually believed there wasn't anything that we could do that was beyond the love of Christ? What if you bought that? What if you believed that? What if you were able to break out of the idea that, you know what? Just a little more prayer, just a little more church, just a little more reading my Bible, just me trying a little bit harder. If I can just try a little bit harder, then I'll beat this thing. Stop thinking that way. You are no match for sin. If you could have conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave, we wouldn't need Jesus. You couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. None of us can do it. He did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, and now he's made a way so that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Come on, somebody. Nothing can separate us. And then someone says, you don't know what I did. Probably true. And my response would be, you don't know the power of the cross and the power of the resurrection. It's greater than anything that you and I have ever, could ever, or will ever do. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the gospel. That's what's nearly too good to be true, is that in all of our stuff, he loves us like a son and a daughter. He can never stop loving you. He's radically, scandalously in love with you. And when you know you're loved, it changes you. It changes you. It absolutely rearranges your entire life. Can I tell you something? I will go home this afternoon. I had this thought before we started today. I had this thought. Josh, gotta do this 4 times. You better pace yourself. Then I thought, if I pace myself, then that means somebody gets ripped off. And I didn't want you to be ripped off. I wanted you, no matter what service you came to get the best. And then here's what I realized. My best isn't that good. Actually, the Bible describes it to a dung heap. Yeah, that's true. See, you have a choice. You can either choose good or you can choose grace. Good makes all the responsibility yours. Grace makes all the responsibility his. See, you can either have your good stuff or you can have God's grace stuff, but you can't have both. And so when I look at today and if I give my best, the Bible describes it like a pile of dung. And I'm going to go home today and I'm going to sit on the end of my bed and I'm going to cry. Here's why I'm going to cry. Because I know I didn't bring my best. What I brought was the grace of God that lives in me. When you rest your head on your pillow, you don't have to be measured against good or best or better. See, it's an ever-climbing scale that is an ever-moving set of goalposts, an ever-moving finish line that you will never reach. You will never reach it. It'll always just be out of your reach until you recognize, not I, but the grace of God. And the resurrection is a booming display that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And that, y'all, is good news. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? All over this place, I'm going to ask you to make a decision in response to the scandalous grace and love of Jesus Christ. Here's the scandal. Here's what seems wrong. This is what creates public outrage. That Jesus being raised from the dead initiates a movement that says this: whosoever will, they can come. Whoever wants to receive of this grace and this love, it's available to you. It's whoever. It's whosoever will. It's anyone who will be equally radical to receive and say, you know what? I can't measure up. But thank God I don't have to, because I can receive of His grace. Two ways to try to make it through. Every system and structure falls under one of these overarching ways of life: good or grace. For some of you, the greatest obstacle to reaching out to the hand of grace is you say, I'm a good person. I live a good life. I'm good to my family. I'm good to my friends. I'm good to my employer. I'm a good person. And you've set the wrong measuring stick. Because no matter how good you are, you never could earn the love that's been given to you by Christ. There's others that your obstacle, your barrier, your extreme thinking is, I've gone too far. I've done too much. He'll never accept me. He'll never embrace me. He'll never love me. He doesn't mean that for me. Whosoever will, they can come. And I want to invite you to come into this scandalous grace and love that's been offered by this resurrected King. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask right now that you begin to touch hearts and lives in this place. Let them know that they have a need of risen grace. Let them know that their difficulty in their marriage and relationships isn't enough to keep them separated. Unless they choose that, whosoever will, broken in your heart, broken in your marriage, broken in your body, challenged by finances, all of these things that are simple distractions to keep us apart from the main thing, which is the love of Christ. Father, thank you for drawing individuals to your side right now by your Spirit. With heads bowed and eyes closed, here's what I'm asking. If you don't know Christ, you don't know Jesus, He isn't the center of your world, and you want Him to be. Here in just a moment, I'm going to give you a chance to experience the radical scandalous love and grace of God. It's a free gift to whoever will come. Every single person in this place has sinned and fallen short of God's best. All of us. The payment, penalty of sin is death. That's what happened on that Friday, that dark Friday of Jesus' life. He paid the penalty for us. But on today, we celebrate that the judgment for our sin was satisfied. And the resurrection of Jesus is the evidence that we no longer have to pay for our sins for eternity. He did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Right now, I'm inviting you to say yes to the grace and the love of God. I believe God is drawing people who may be far from Him. Maybe you know what it means to follow Him, but you haven't been like you know you should, and you want to make that change. If that's you here in just a moment, I'm going to invite you. I'm not going to ask you to get out of your seats. I'm going to ask you with an uplifted hand to say, yes, that's me. All over this place, watching online, in our video room, someone will see you there and help you. But if that's you, I'm going to count to three. And when I hit three, I want you to throw that hand up in the air and say, Josh, that's me. I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray a prayer that I know I will spend all of eternity with Christ. I don't know where I would spend eternity, but I want to spend eternity with Christ, and I want you to pray for me. I'm going to count to three. When I hit three, if that's you, you say, I want to receive the grace and love of God, just throw that hand right up in the air. We're going to pray for you. You ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Put your hand up in the air and say, that's me. Leave it there for just a second. Okay? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Who else? Come on. Anybody else? Thank you, ma'am. Good. You said yes online. They will engage with you and help you take next steps. If you're in a video overflow room, someone will see you there and they will help you to take next steps. Anybody else join these nine or so that have said yes? Before we go on, I'm going to pray for you just like I said I would. So glad you guys came today. Can we do this together? Every single person in this place, can we pray? Even if you've prayed it dozens of times before, pray it strong, pray it loud from your heart. With these who are praying it for the very first time, you ready? Say this out loud with me. Say this. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son. Thank you that He died for me. Thank you that He was raised from the dead just for me. I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Now and forever, I turn from my sin and I turn to your Son, and I'll follow Him all the days of my life. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Make some noise, y'all, for those individuals. That's awesome.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's Word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.